SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Hour number two. Man, this week went fast. I'm going to bring the heat here over this next hour. If you want to get involved, have some fun with us, do it. 844-843-6879. Donnie Wrightside here with Kevin Walsh. Just wanted to bring this up because we're going to spend a lot of time, obviously next week, with not a lot to talk about. But I did just want to briefly hit that we now have the Home Run Derby field set. Eight players in the field here, and we do have odds on these eight players. Now, I'm going to start before we get into the individual odds and who matches up with who, because we're going to do that on Monday. But this is an interesting one, Kevin. The field, which means you have seven players versus one. Who is that one? It's Pete Alonso. So the field at a minus 250 price, or do you take Pete Alonso at only a plus 185?
See, like usually when I get a question like this, I prefer to not answer your question and come up with my third option. Can I just pick somebody that's not – like I'm not laying minus 250 on the no for Pete Alonso.
Yeah.
Because like remember last year, like not like he obviously won, but like it was easy.
Yeah, like Pujols going to beat him. I mean, come on.
You exactly the point. Yeah. So – oh, wow. We'll talk about this in a second here just because it's worth it. But I would rather – like, I'll put it to you like this. I'd rather bet Kyle Schwarber at plus 290, just one ring down the ladder, than lay minus 250 on Pete or go sub $2 on Pete.
Because honestly, right, like Jose Ramirez winning this, I mean, great hitter, but I don't think so. Albert Pujols, who's not even in it because he's a great home run hitter of the past, he's just in it. So you're actually factoring that into that minus 250.
But here's my thing with Pujols. 22-1 for a home run derby. I would almost just say, like, nobody should be 22-1 for a home run derby. No?
I mean, I guess. And also, he doesn't have to run around like field baseballs, right? He's just hitting. So maybe it's one of those where it's you're right about the 22-1 because it's not like, well, Kevin, he's never going to win it. He doesn't really have to win it at that price. Just have to advance like a round or two.
Is and, like, he going to be like 5-1? On a head-to-head with Pete? Like, are they faced off? And, like, isn't there a bracket usually?
Yes, I believe that's the – who is the eighth? I just had it up here a while ago. There is the bracket.
Yeah, that's the
– let's see. MLB, Home Run Derby.
Here we go. Home Run Bracket Reveal. Where's the – come on.
All right.
Soto – I got it here. Hold on. Ready?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, how about this? So it's Schwarber versus Pujols in the 1-8.
So do you know why that is then? Do you know why that is then? They must be doing it just strictly on home runs then? Yeah,
yes, gotcha. Yes, yeah, okay. Exactly. Okay. So if you have it in front of you, the bracket?
I do. It looks like it's 1-8 is Albert Pujols. And then we have 4-5, Jose Ramirez. And then we have 3.
So why are you saying one name? Are you all right? You just said 4-5, Jose Ramirez.
Yes, I've got the two J's in there that got me thrown off. Because you know what I was actually kind of setting up? I thought I was getting set up on here, like they were only giving me like two sections. I'm like, well, where's the other guys at?
Yeah,
so I was scrolling
down
and just saw Juan Soto, Jose Ramirez, 4-5. Seager and Julio Rodriguez, 3-6. And then Pete Alonso, 2. Ronald Acuna, 7. That's an interesting one. Because Ronald Acuna in the past has done really some damage here in home run derbies. That's a good one. I think it's a now also, and I take a look at you try to equate these two, the NBA's dunk contest. Good job by the Major League Baseball. Like this is when we tune in, and also I'm going to say good job, but at the same time, I was upset when I saw this because I like perfect opportunities here. Stanton and Judge aren't in this thing. The part of the home run derby is like. It's not even a matter of Kevin, like, oh, this guy hit 30 home runs this round. I guess that's not the right word. But you know what I care about more? Oh my God, did you see that ball just went 570?
Yeah.
Like those guys, like the Titans, the guys that are like 6'7, 275 that can absolutely jackhammer a baseball. Because some of the most fun recent ones that I've seen, they were Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton absolutely hitting ballistic missiles in the outer space.
Would you accept a one round, as many as you can, home run derby. And that way it would probably increase the star power as opposed to the current bracket three round format.
Yes, because I want to see the stars hit, but also, how about this? Like, I know home run derby is built on how many you hit. Why can't home run derby be like the guy that hits the farthest one wins it?
Or a bonus pool or something.
Give me one year. Give me 1 year of that. Yeah. You know what? The farthest home run wins this thing. Oh, it would be sensational.
But I actually, just take, for me, the three-point contest in the NBA. Everybody goes once, and then we advance to three guys are left for the final round. Do you know what I'm saying? Where, because I know you laugh the idea off, and I understand why, but there are people who have struggled post-derby. There's people who don't want to get in the mix. If you tell people, look, you can feel, whether you think it's real or not, they think it's real. So that's all that matters in this scenario.
Cop-out, real. I think it's just a cop-out. Trust me. You ever shown up to batting practice for a Major League Baseball game? They're playing home run derby every single time. Oh, he just so happened to put that one in the second deck. Yeah, sure, guys. That's going to mess up your swing going to home run derby. No, you just said, you know what? I'm flying in Sunday night. We're going out to the bar. I'm getting wasted, and I'm having an off day on Monday as opposed to hitting. You can't get past Donnie Wrightside with that stuff here. Come on back with us right after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, I apologize for the terrible music in the background right now, but we keep moving forward here on Moneyline on a Friday afternoon. And by the way, we like to say we are a digital platform here. And yes, I guess if you follow the accounts back, they follow you back automatically. But Casey Monstar asked a good question. Now, I'm not going to read it right now on Twitter because we're going to get to that shortly. But we want to continue a little more home run derby talk here on a Friday afternoon of who you would like to include in your home run derby. And of course, you see, there's a guy with 31 home runs who hit one last night in the Bronx that looked like it was a flick of the wrist that went, what, opposite field, right center field, almost hit it in. Did he almost hit it into his own judge chambers out there?
Yeah.
I think that's where those seats are, which was incredible how far that went. He's not in it. He should be in it. Schwarber, absolutely. Who's in it? He should be in it here. Alvarez, okay. Austin Riley, another guy that hits him to the moon. Mike Trout, Pete Alonso, Giancarlo Stanton, absolutely. Because I'm looking more for, and also, Shohei,
I need eight
Stanton's
names.
Not in it, man.
I need eight
Stanton's
names. Not in there. He was in it last year.
Let's
eight
go.
Names.
Judge.
Perfect home run derby. This current crop of
Judge, players. Schwarber, let's see, Riley, Trout,
no way.
Alonso.
I'm stopping
Stanton.
You right there. You're not giving this enough thought. You think Austin Riley.
He hits the ball mile.
I don't care.
That's what I'm basing on. Yeah. Now, granted, like I guess because Bryce Harper's injury, he should be in there
Jr.,
as well.
Vladdy Jr., Ohtani. Yes. Even include your injury guy.
All right.
Now, I'm talking about if you were commissioner
Vogelbach.
And they said everybody. Yeah. I mean, now Christian Kirk, Roddy Tellez. I mean, you're starting to get the right guys in the next year. Like, why don't you slow down and stop reading me the home run leaderboard? Like, all right.
This is supposed to be impromptu, pal. This is supposed to be already well.
Yeah, but you're not thinking at all.
Look, I'll put them all in there, and then we'll just drop them side by side once they get out on the field. That's what I'm saying here.
I'm not worried about the bracket.
I don't want Rizzo in here.
No, I agree.
Yeah, he hits it a mile, but he's not in Colorado. So how far does he actually hit the ball? You know?
Let me tell you something. If I
Soto.
I said, give me the best ratings imaginable. Maybe I'm not asking you the right question. Give me best four ratings, field of eight, home run derby. And if you say CJ Crone,
hold on,
coming through this.
All right, here we go. Ready? Aaron Judge, Kyle Schwarber, Austin Riley,
Oh my gosh.
I'll read the same list all the way down through. No, just for star power, though, like Judge, like Schwarber, even though you could say to yourself he's not that big of a star technically in Major League Baseball, but I'm looking for who's going to do, like, damage. Like, oh my God, did you see that baseball get hit? Like, he can do that. Judge can do it. Schwarber can do it. And that's why I would include Riley, but obviously he's not a household name per se like the other guys. Mike Trout would need to be in it. Pete Alonso, Giancarlo Stanton. Quite frankly, I could live with, honestly, you can surround it with whoever you want after that. But I really like Aaron Judge is so much fun to watch along with Stanton. Like, I'm talking about, like, you, like, if I'm watching a home run derby and I'm saying, like, I'm not really that interested, I just want to watch Giancarlo Stanton. Because I've watched him in home run derbies. I still remember the one in San Diego where Stanton was hitting, like, the ball out of the stadium, which was incredible to watch. But the one in Miami, which is, like, a true pitcher's ballpark, and they were just showing the clips of, like, the ball hitting the back windows. And I was just, like, mind-blowing, mind-boggling home runs there. That's what I want. Like, you could tell me right now, like, ooh, did you see the sweet swing of, let's just say, Juan Soto, even though he's hit balls 550. But, like, oh, man, he peppered, like, the right field seats for 22 home runs, average home run 378. It's like, okay, that's a great talent, and I get it, you can win home run derby. But I'm talking about the guy that hit, like, the light stanchion. Like, that's the only thing I care about. You give me guys that can actually hit rockets, that's what I want to see.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Like, the... We talk sometimes about, like, if they did the quarterback challenge, who could throw the ball the furthest, right? Like, I would love to watch the Allen. Trust me, I'm more interested in watching Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes throw the football than golf. All right? So you'll get me to agree on that. But I really do believe that you could come up with a phenomenal field of eight with the current, like, because, you know, that basically the reason I somewhat bring it up is I think we talk about, oh, baseball doesn't have stars, right?
Yeah.
But if you give me Judge, Ohtani, Trout, Alonso, Stanton, Vladdy Jr., and maybe like a Bryce Schwarber head-to-head. I mean, that is fantastic. I mean, like, if I could have got Tatis, obviously, that would be tremendous. Soto, you legitimately have some fantastic options for home run derby. And I think there are people who are excited, by the way, for this year's, and you're still missing a lot of top names from a potential situation.
Yeah, it's always a bad look when an all-star is going to the all-star game who leads the league in home runs that says, yeah, I'm good at this point. I just hate the way that looks at that point, but it is what it is here. By the way, let's hit the phone lines real quick here. 844-843-6879. Carl in New Jersey on a Friday. Now, he did send me a picture, which I think was CGI, Kevin, with a picture of a fence that said Central Jersey Fencing, as if Central Jersey actually is out there, Carl. Is that true?
Oh, man.
Well, it's good. Yeah, free plug for Central Jersey Fencing if you're out there today. I don't know.
That's true. Yeah. Send a check.
You know, just to let you guys know, I am going on vacation after today. I'm going to be gone all next week. Oh. I will not be able to enjoy the fun week. We are heading down to Ocean City, Maryland for the week. So I'm going to be off the grid for a couple days. And, you know, I get to miss out on some fun next week with the random conversations. But maybe I'll check in while I'm down there amidst the chaos with my two kids.
Now, I do like the fact that you are going on vacation. I don't know what vacation actually means, but Kevin certainly does. So it's good to hear that you're going on vacation.
Yeah, Don is going
to. Yeah, you know, get away for a couple days.
That's nice, though. Yeah, what do you got today on a Friday? What are we digging into here, Carl?
I don't have anything for tonight, guys. I haven't even looked at it. I was awful last night. The Blue Jays-Royals game was a disaster. I had the over in the Dodgers-Cardinals game last night. So I'm laying low this week. I might throw a few things out, but I really don't have much yet for tonight. Here's one over-under I got. Over-under $100 for how much money I'm going to spend on the crane games in Ocean City this week.
Yeah.
Sounds way over.
Just to get, like, the little furry thing. Or there's always, like, a PS5 in there that can never hold up against the crane. I enjoy those things here. I enjoy those. K-Dub, are you a big crane guy when you go down the shore?
Yeah, it's one of those things.
Seems like you would be. I think you would be one of those.
Because if you line it up and it's right there staring at you, you're like, well, I got to go and get it. And then you're there for a little bit longer than you should be because it's right there, it's right there, it's right there, and it's right there for a little too long. So, I mean, they're fun, though. Man, there was one time I went to a fair, And some kid essentially got almost like a gang of people, like at least like multiple people, $100 in the hole. Do you know what I'm saying? That like as they were trying to fund him. And then it was one of those things like the guy was like, yeah, you can come back tomorrow and restart. Nobody came back. You know what I mean? Like it was just a bad, bad, bad go around there. But Don, you should tell the people how we hit the basketball shot out there in L.A.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I was really going to say is like we actually were the grid was out in motion playing these games, you know, winning those. I think I still have the fit that I went like a, did we win like a fish on like the spray thing where it's like you spray the water gun at the target.
Yeah.
And then also
you won
with
that?
I think I did win one of those. Yeah. So I got one of those. And also I think I was the first one to hit the shot. Was that the first one to hit the shot? By the way, that was a long shot, man. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm firing away. The first one, I didn't think I hit the rim. Like, whoa, man, I got to get in the weight room or something like that. Or this thing's a lot farther than I thought it was. But that was nice because we didn't have to hand over any dollars. So if there was dollars involved, you'd be like, you know what, let me sort of eye this up. But we were just firing away at that point because they just looked at who wants next. Yeah, you go to the park, say, hey, make it, take it. You guys just whipping that ball around out there. It was kind of nice.
No, absolutely. Yeah, like because it was a different setup where we're kind of able to do whatever we want, whatever we wanted, but like we didn't have to pay to play. So yeah, we were letting it rip. It was a good time.
Yep, it's basically we were there with a couple kids who were just, you know, milling around and way ahead of the pack trying to get on rides, even though, you know, we're the same age out there, if you get my drift. My goodness. The grid running wild out there at Universal Studios. But we're going to talk a little football coming up and maybe a prop bet or two for this season and how to approach it. Let's go. Come on back with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
How about this? Football Friday talk. You got it. Right here on the grid, Sirius XM channel 159. It's Donnie and Kevin here on a Friday. And we got a question on Twitter. It's from Casey Monstar. It's never too early to talk about this stuff, which I love. And he writes, so for this football season, which players would you blindly back on getting 2+ touchdowns a game? If the odds are greater than plus 600 all season and said players does it at least 3 times, you would win money. So basically what's he saying, is there a guy every week, Kevin, that you're just going to straight up bet and say there's a good chance that we can run this one up the flagpole, 1 touchdown, 2 touchdown, 3 touchdowns, and see if we get that plus money? Is there a guy out there for you that can do that?
So it's a really fun question because we talked about the judge one for anybody that maybe missed, and that was the context that Casey added to us on Twitter, similar to our judge conversation about, you know, being able to get judge at, you know, 22-1 for these multi home run games. 6-1 is interesting. My first question to you, because there is an accurate answer to this, because we're using that 6-1 baseline. How many multi touchdown games do I need to clear profit? I guess 3 would be the answer. If I'm saying betting $100,
yeah.
If I'm betting $200 or if I'm betting $100 each time, with 2 wins, I would have $1,200, but I'd have 15 losses. So you'd lose $300. So you'd need at least 2 to where it would be a respectable, not that bad. If you go for 3, you've made money. You'd make about $400, roughly off the top of my head, if it were plus 600 on average per week for 2+ touchdowns. So when you put it like that, Donnie, again, if that's correct, let me ask you this. Do you think that's correct? It's plus 600 as like on a per week basis for someone to score multiple touchdowns, or do you think it's lower than that?
I think the price is probably lower depending on who you're getting it, right?
Yeah, that's the, because obviously that's going to make the difference. Like, so what if we lower it to 400? What do you think?
Well, just take it at 6, though, because you don't want to say, okay, this guy, that guy. Just leave it as like a benchmark where, like, all right, what happens if it's 400 or 500 or anytime touchdown stuff? Go ahead. No, ask me
if it is 600, there's at least 5 guys I would probably tell you I would be able to bet on a regular basis, I think.
And would they be the majority running backs?
Basically, the only wide receiver would be Kupp. He'd be worth a shot. Mm-hmm. Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, Kamara when he's back, you know, like Dalvin Cook, right? Like, yeah, there's a handful of guys on it, like in an interesting way, because this kind of got my mind thinking here of what these prices would be, Donnie, that, yeah, I think I would have plenty of plus two touchdown shots and maybe a market we should look to exploit more. I don't know. What's your read right now?
Yeah, because it's the same thing, because he even puts on there like a similar concept to Aaron Judge with two-plus home runs in a game, which means like going up the flagpole, which is, you know, we think he's going to hit one home run, but my goodness, if it's one home run at plus 265, two home runs might be in that 7 or 8 to 1, and if he's hot and hits in his first plate appearance, he's probably got that good swing going on. But if there's like my type of guys, like, yeah, like the Jonathan Taylors of the world, you know, guys down by the goal line, but also remember, this is anytime touchdown. It's not rushing touchdown, right? It's not receiving touchdown. So you get those added bonus points with like an Alvin Kamara who can work out of the backfield. It would have been great, like a Deebo Samuel, run it in and catch a pass in. Those would be the guys that I'd be focused on. But I got to tell you, yeah, I probably would be leaning just about all running backs, even though it's hard enough just to get like one rushing touchdown in an entire game because so many teams pass. But I feel like that's the way I would lean. Like, and the number one guy on your list would have to be, right? Jonathan Taylor right off the bat, home run threat and your goal line back. Dalvin Cook.
I think Henry is your guy. I think Henry's your number one guy. With to be honest with you, with McCaffrey ahead of Jonathan Taylor for me too.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Really?
McCaffrey is I think people have clearly forgotten a little bit here. McCaffrey is everything to that football team. Yeah. Everything. And when he comes, it's not, again, we've talked to, this guy's lost the step, Ezekiel Elliott. McCaffrey's not lost a step. If he's out there, he's the best running back in football, or he's injured. Like, those are the two planets that he exists on. Injured or the best running back in football. Man, I tell you, you think about the plus money, Donnie, right? Like, you and I did a lot of plenty of touchdown bets throughout the season. You know, where in the same way, if I pick five guys on any given Sunday to score touchdowns, and I sprinkle a core unit the way you do on home runs for two plus touchdowns, I can't get one of my guys to find the end zone twice.
No, it seems like a fun concept to try to look into, because we're always, instead of betting like a straight team total, which you again love to do, or a straight wager on a game or a first half or a live wager, these are fun markets that we started to really get into. And I'm interested to see also what FanDuel is going to have for all those so many fun bets that we have in the, what were they called last year? What were they actually called?
The specials.
Game specials?
Match specials.
Match specials and stuff like, oh my goodness. Like, we talk about having such a great season. It's like the final month, which I guess the hot spot is like September and early October where the weather's good. And it seems like offense was so much easier at that point where it sort of dwindled down. And then there's always the Mike White Monday Night Football game that was set up to ring every bell and basically cover a full month of wagering, went up in flames due to injury. Oh, my goodness. I could still remember that first drive. It's like Mike White might throw for like 500 yards. Because also, when you take a look at like, you know, two touchdowns or whatever it was, touchdown each half, throwing for more than like four, it looked like it was all going to line up in one game. And with a guy that wasn't like Peyton Manning, where it would be a plus 200 price, they were all pinball score prices. And it went up in flames. It was like, that was one of those where it's like, man, we'll never get that back.
No, we sadly won't. And I think because we then began to chase that dragon even more so, and you know what I mean? It didn't help. And man, we were getting some. But I think the thing that started to get frustrating is it wasn't like there were some games where it was bad quarterbacks involved, right? And it's like, all right, we probably shouldn't have done this.
Yes.
Like, Don, we had Stafford, Russ Wilson.
Oh, my God. Stafford in the blowout against San Francisco 49ers, if you remember.
Sure.
Whatever. I can't remember the exact bet I had, but I just needed like them to throw a touchdown pass at the end of the game. It was like, and they had, they're getting blown away in like a first and goal. And I'm saying to myself, and it was like, I think it was twice in the fourth quarter. They got inside the 20 and couldn't score any points. I'm just saying to myself, my goodness, man. But you're right. There were so many ridiculous games like that.
That was the Troy Aikman, did Odell Beckham Jr. ruin the Rams game?
Oh, it was good, yes.
You know what I mean?
He was on the sideline, like played six plays, had his hands crossed. Like, you know what? Just him getting here just ruined the Rams' chances at doing anything. I don't think they did anything the rest of the year, did they? So
no, they weren't able to figure anything. Like, you know what? You're kind of right. I don't think on Super Bowl Recap Monday ran it up the pole like, hey, remember when Odell ruined this team? I probably, yeah. We probably did a
lap. You probably should have did a lap on that. Probably should have done a lap on there.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. But I am so excited to be in the mix on NFL Sundays. And, you know, last year we kind of talked about it, but our pick six contest where we were just trying to come up with something to, you know, cap a Football Friday show. I don't know, for me at least, I thought was way better than I kind of had envisioned from a enjoyable standpoint and I thought a profitability standpoint.
Yeah, no, agree with you on that point. But how are we like approaching this NFL season? We haven't done our background yet, per se, on the shows, right? Which is going to start up relatively quick, and quite frankly, next week, get ready on the grid here. For you want to talk some football, we're certainly going to have you covered on that. But that sort of gets like my juices going, because you know what we like to do also is pick out five. What did we do last year? It was five prop bets, right?
Yes, season-long player props.
Yes,
was kind of one of our sections, and then we also did. We did do, like, Super Bowl predictions, which is why I had that Rams-NFC ticket. Because, you know, we were betting what we were telling people.
Yes.
So we did the Super Bowl. So I had the Rams losing to the Ravens in the Super Bowl. And then remember we had the win total bonus Super Bowl bet on top of that. So I had the Chiefs Super Bowl ticket, the Ravens Super Bowl ticket. Obviously, the Ravens didn't make the playoffs, but man, I was like, hold on a minute, man. Obviously, you know, the Chiefs let us down. But yeah, we did the five season-long player props, and I got to tell you, I don't know if I'll be able to keep it five this year. I mean, it's just some early looks out there.
Yeah,
that
no, there's
Zeke
good
one,
stuff.
Oh, my goodness, man.
Yeah, there's because as we start to just, like, you know, generalize some of these numbers and just come up randomly, like, man, like, you're already starting to, like, have that brain go into motion of what makes sense and what doesn't. Quite frankly, the ones I usually like are the best where they don't take that long to outthink yourself. Like, you look at the number, and immediately it pops in your head, like, yes or no, and you just fire away. But my player props last year, my goodness, man. Talk about guys who have great seasons, and all of a sudden COVID and knee injuries. Oh, my gosh. Like, I didn't make money on that. I ended up losing money, but it was one of those where it should have been very profitable to do it. And also, I definitely need to pick my team out this year with a team total and take a stand, because everybody was hating on the Colts last year. Oh. Ha-ha, Donnie, they didn't make the playoffs. Ha-ha. Yeah, ha-ha, me. I won my team total bet, and that's the whole name of the game.
Absolutely the right approach there. The other thing that maybe we have to do this year, because part of the reason that you didn't go 5-0, which you were multiple times on the trajectory, was because of injury. We might have to force ourselves to find, in the same way we did in the pick six, find an under.
Yes.
Because the injury bug will be at our side if so be comes around. Like, that might be
something
we'll
cheer on
also
injuries, which we
at.
Like to do.
Yeah,
sure.
You will. Yeah, you might do an all-unders card, huh?
We'll call it the snap.
My goodness, get me out of here.
I mean, that's the way to do it here, people. On the Friday, I mean, Kevin leading me right down the path I want to. Talking about broken legs here on a Friday. All that much more. Stick with us right here on Moneyline, 844-843-6879. If you want to get involved as we head off into the weekend on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Right back at it here on Moneyline. 20 on the gun here on a Friday. Last big episode of the week. You like how these episodes here as opposed to segments? Sounds better. Just sounds better, K-Dub, here on a Friday. Now, what's going on in the background here about announcing stuff? And what are you talking about over here?
Well, you asked.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to read the headline?
And what's it from? What is it from, though? ESPN, Twitter?
Twitter. It's on Twitter. Okay. Have you seen any news around the Musk family today?
Sort of.
That's what I'm reacting to.
Is it a new tweet that came up, or is this from just like all day? It's been out there.
His father's in the news, Elon Musk,
for tough family matters.
I mean, you've either seen it or you haven't, man.
I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
yeah, I don't know. I think we maybe let this one walk on by, though. You know. I mean, I know,
like,
it's
the caller's comment
Friday,
on it.
But pfft. Oh, my goodness, man. Hey, all right. That's yeah, I don't know.
That's the update?
Let sleeping dogs lie is what I'm thinking on that. I mean, have you seen it? You've seen the...
I did. I didn't read into it, but I did see some seedy dealings here, I guess you could say the least, of what was going on there.
Yeah, I mean, I just, why not? Elon Musk's father, Musk, announces he has welcomed a second child with his stepdaughter, who he raised since she was 4 years old. I mean, that's just...
Welcome to the family. There it is. Now, next, your take on... Brittany Griner in Russia. I mean, what do you got there?
I mean, hope everything is sorted out and everybody's all right. Next question.
All right. Next question is the Open. It's the British Open. Can we just call it the British Open? I'm so tired of stumbling on just calling this thing the Open. And what about the U.S. Open? The second-handed there? Does it matter? Like, why can we call this the Open and not just British Open, U.S. Open?
Well, yeah, it's ridiculous. The idea that this isn't just called the British Open, why does it... It's almost like they're trying to be like, no, we're the real Open. All right, enough out of that, right? Like,
the Open Championship, the Championship of Golf, whatever they're calling here. By the way, I don't think everybody's off the course yet. Still waiting for Rory McIlroy to finish up here, but I do show he's at minus nine. And hold on, you know what? I'm glad I just started talking about the Open Championship here. Let me get this straight here. Now, when I talk about I need score updates for like a baseball game, sometimes they're a little delayed, which means I can watch it on my TV, a run scored, and maybe 45 seconds later hits my phone from the random apps that I'm using. We are in the 21st century here. We have a lot of technological advances here. We see things in real time. Why does when I pull up ES, it doesn't even matter what app it is. Why are the golf scores like 20 minutes behind? Why is this? Can you, somebody explain it to me?
Yeah. No,
like, if you're using ESPN, like, when we talk about it on the show, and I use ESPN, and like, hey, somebody just finished up, why does it show the guy who's, like, 9-under at, like, 6-under a half hour ago? We can't have these updated in real time?
Very odd. Very, very odd. Doesn't seem like it makes much sense that it feels so outdated, behind the times, all the things that you're describing here. And by the way, just so people know, trust me on this, do not for one second think that golf is in a heavily live bet market. Because it's going on at all times. People are in the mix all the time. So that I think that's another part of the reason. I think people are so happy because everyone says the Masters app is the best. And that's probably a thing that boosts it up even a little bit more. Because you can watch every golfer on every hole, so when you're making your bets, you can really be locked in on your guys.
Now, can you imagine sitting here on a Sunday afternoon and, I don't know, maybe you got to go run errands, right? And, hey, wife needs you to go over to a TJ Maxx or Marshall's or the food store, right? It's like, okay, let me just have my ESPN app up. And it's like, man, it's been 3-0 a while, and you turn on the radio, the Eagles have a 17-3 lead over the Giants. Like, what is this? Like, the football doesn't update like that. Baseball doesn't update like that. I can't imagine why you don't have guys putting in, oh, it's too hard to get the scores at one time here. No, it's not. Each and every, you know, I don't want to say group, I guess group pairing that walks out there has people keeping track of the score. They can't punch it in real time and relay it. I never could understand that.
Yeah, it's very weird. Very, very, again, the whole, it shouldn't be so outdated. But even, like you said, I guess with the TV stuff, right? Like, you can't watch everybody at every tournament. So, like, the live betting is almost like confined to the most popular people at all times.
No, it certainly is. And that's just a pet peeve, which I'm glad we just brought up golf out of nowhere here to sort of signify that. But waiting to see what Rory McIlroy does, because we're not on the air here together on Saturday or Sunday. Just take a look at the open odds here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Cameron Smith, now the favorite, plus 155. Rory McIlroy at a plus 380 price. Cameron Young, 7-1. So if we put that in perspective here, Cameron Young shot 8-under par today, minus 13 for the choice. Excuse me, Smith. I knew this was going to happen. Cameron Smith, minus 13. Cameron Young, a minus 11, a minus 3 today. Then Dustin Johnson with a minus 9. He's 10-1 now. Big name at the top, but 4 strokes back heading into Saturday and Sunday. Still anybody's tournament, but boy, Cameron Smith at a plus 155, man. Playing well this week.
And again, that was Cam's guy alongside Shane Lowry. I'm remembering that correctly, I hope. Right? Do you remember?
Yeah, the Australian, right? Top Australian is what he had, too. And whatever his prices were, I would like to see what he actually
had. Rob McIntyre. 22-1, I think, for Cam Smith pre-tournament.
You think you're right. Yes, I did actually write that down, too. We're coming in and out of a break. Make sure we get those ones out there.
McIntyre. Let's see. Hold on a minute now.
Yeah, I'm scrolling down.
T67. So who are the other lefties? I know Phil, obviously, who is nowhere near McIntyre.
No. No. He fell off?
He's plus six. He's
my goodness,
today.
Phil. He was even par. He's finished plus six there. It's funny when you're getting beat by John Daly here.
Is Brian Harmon a lefty? I feel like his name was on that list because he right now is actually three under. So he's got himself some breathing room compared to McIntyre, a full three shots. But I don't know if he's a lefty, to be totally honest with you. I could be misremembering.
Yeah, let's see what we got here. So even in the marketplace, Scheffler 10-1, Tyrell Hatton 20-1, Cantlay 29-1, Hovland 29-1, moving day, which would be Saturday. Hopefully, and again, from a golfer perspective and some fun, you would like to see the conditions really fire up here at St. Andrews. But I think when Cam did come on the show and talk with us, I don't think they were really expecting, like, hey, man, you got to avoid Saturday or you got to avoid Sunday here because it looks like you're going to get some really bad weather. Like, sun's out. And the sun's never out over there. And, you know, doing some damage. There's a nice shot there by Victor Hovland with an eagle from the fairway.
Ooh,
yeah, go ahead.
Wow, how about that? Yeah, so I just wanted to bring this to the table quickly. When you brought up the home run derby, I noticed that we had odds for the MLB draft.
Yes.
Now, it's just the first overall pick. My initial reaction was, wow, we actually have now gotten to the point where they're willing to book odds. Yes, exactly. Where they're willing to book odds on the MLB draft. So I first opened it up. Brooks Lee was a minus 110 favorite. Drew Jones was the second choice there at a close number. For those that don't know, that's Andrew Jones.
I thought he was the favorite
Braves.
Today, though. Was he?
So
was he the favorite at one point?
When I first clicked it, I saw Brooks Lee 2 o'clock when you first brought up Home Run Derby. But you also could have clicked it before I did.
I did. That's what I saw before. Drew Jones was the leader. He was the number one draft pick, the favorite there. When I'm going to say like around like 115, 120 in that range when it was going to be a topic for us. So that is swinging through, yeah.
And here's the thing. I actually watched the MLB draft show, like a little preview show on MLB Network. It was just on in the background. They all assumed Drew Jones was going to be the first pick. Then I saw some MLB mock drafting on my Twitter account, and Drew Jones was there as well. So by the time we had finished our Home Run Derby segment, I think it had gone to minus 135 on Brooks Lee. And here we are now, about another 50 minutes later, minus 195. So I almost wonder, I don't know. Oh, how about this? Oh, this is perfect. Someone posted this at Bet for the Win on Twitter at 9:52 this morning. Drew Jones, minus 140. Brooks Lee, plus 175. I got a feeling, Donnie, that Drew Jones was posted for the first time today and is being surpassed now across the board here on all these sports books as people were waiting with information that it was real. I've never even heard of this guy, Brooks Lee, actually.
No. I haven't heard of any of these guys here coming down the path, which, again, is Major League Baseball. You'll see him in, 27 at this point.
I'm sorry. I know this is obviously a little wonky here, but I think anyone that gambles can appreciate, like, movement like this.
Uh-huh.
Minus 250 on DraftKings now for this guy. And this is a tweet from at Covers. Here we go again. After spending most of the week at minus 190, Drew Jones has moved to minus 140. Brooks Lee has gone from plus 550 down to plus 175. That was at 9:30 this morning. So, Donnie, at 9:30 this morning, Drew Jones, minus 140. Now Brooks Lee, minus 250. Man, these sports books got to be tired of getting beat over the head by draft movement, no?
Yeah, it is pretty crazy there. Now, when were these odds actually hung? Because I wasn't looking for it. Usually when you slide it over, you see some things pop up, but the Home Run Derby tab popped up and Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't really checking for these yesterday. I can't imagine the Major League Baseball draft was up long, right? Could this be just a one-day thing where they posted it? It had to be up longer than that, though, right?
So, like, the indication from that tweet is that it's existed on DraftKings for a while. But I can tell you it has not existed on FanDuel for a while. I can promise you that. Because we are on FanDuel every day and we would have noticed it. I believe at least. How about the fact that Brooks Lee, Donnie? Like, if you had to guess what college this kid went to, right? Vanderbilt, right? Whatever it might be. Cal Poly.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was actually going to go Cal Fullerton there.
Like, oh, really?
I knew it wasn't going to be one of those, like, okay, you're right, Vanderbilt, SEC power, LSU, Florida State. It would have to be one of those. But, yeah, one of those West Coast schools there.
What are the chances of that? I don't, you know, like.
They're schools, though, out there, aren't they? Don't they play good baseball out there in Cali?
I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm crazy. Is Cal Poly, like, competing for the College World Series? I guess maybe that doesn't matter, though.
I don't know. Cal State Fullerton, all those guys.
And,
yeah, exactly. Typically, like, oh, Pat, you know, Notre Dame or something. Notre Dame actually had a pretty good baseball season this year. Or Virginia, some ACC power at that point. But I don't have no idea who these kids are. And I don't know in the realm of we always used to hear about the Strasburgs coming along, the Bryce Harpers of the world coming along.
Yeah.
You know, back, like, you know who you're going to be able to draft number one overall, and it's like a fight to get that guy. To be honest, it's funny you bring that up. I haven't heard, like, anything from any of these kids over, like, the past few weeks. Like, hey, man, they're really lucky they got the number one overall pick.
And just to add this one, Kylie McDaniel, never heard the name before, but did a mock draft released at 7 a.m. this morning on ESPN that had Drew Jones going first and did not have Brooks Lee coming off the board until the eighth pick to the Minnesota Twins.
Now, also, here's a – Brooks Lee, by the way, moved to a 230 now at the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Wow.
A lot of these things are interesting in baseball because you're all slotted. Some players, like Brooks Lee, going number one overall because the baseball team contacts him and he signs under slot so they can use more money for their second-round pick. It's a whole nother world than what we're used to in NFL, NHL, NBA, and all that stuff with signing players and their signing ability. One quick segment coming up. Time to give out some picks and cash in this weekend. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment of the week here on Moneyline. Donnie and Kevin, it's time to give out some plays here on Moneyline. I got three of them tonight, and I targeted one game. Now, we went over a few of these on the morning edition here of the early line. But I like the Minnesota Twins team total today, over 4.5 at a minus 105. But I also like alt line for the game. Twins, Chicago White Sox over 8.5 at a minus 125. Just think both of these pitchers with a high xFIP number. And even if you take a look at, forget past 30 days or even full season, number 28 and 29 on 30 listed pitchers today. That's Kopech and Smeltzer here. So I'm going to fade that. But also, I'm also going to go with a hot team here. Seattle Mariners, alt team total over 4 at a minus 140 price. It's been a nice week. I've had three nights this week at 2-1, one night at 1-2. So I'm looking to end the week strong again. I think I could pull down a nice little at least 2-1 tonight out of those three plays. So I think I got some pretty good things cooking here. Any K props that we looked at today for yourself, Kevin?
So I did a little bit early with nothing jumping off the page. I have enough time. There's no day baseball, but with the Mets game obviously canceled. So I haven't been able to – I've run through, like, I don't know, half of the slate without anything jumping off of the board. And that's kind of the other thing, too, obviously. You want to try and give the people something every day, but there aren't strikeout props every day that are worth the time there. So I can't guarantee it. Hopefully something – comes across the table, but we shall see. If not, I might just have to get involved on a total in Twins White Sox, like you were mentioning, though, because I thought that breakdown this morning really, really was popping my eyes.
But are you getting involved in any food tonight? DRS household here in the crew might be headed out for some Mexican tonight, so we're ready to go. And it's not Taco Bell. So how about that?
Yeah. He must have lost, like, the debate then of, like, picking the place.
Now, that's tough. I get in a fight with the server when I say, let me get some tacos. Would you like asada, you know, pork? Would you like, no, ground beef. Yeah, we don't have those. You know what, guys? We're headed out to Taco Bell. That's the way it might go. But that'll do it for the week here. Entertaining, exciting. It's what we do. Thank you for all the callers calling in. We'll be back next week on Monday right here on the grid. Thank you.